Welcome to the Couple Money Podcast. If you're looking to become financially free together, this is your show. Here's your host, Elle Martinez.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of the Couple Money Podcast. If you've been following us since the beginning, you've probably picked up on a recurring theme. Couples who want to improve their marriage and money situations do so by evaluating and changing how they talk to one another. I think the two go hand in hand. Getting a budget ready, getting out of debt, or investing for retirement definitely involves running the numbers. You can't get around that. But it also means that as a couple, we have to find a way to work together. With commitment from both, you two can be an unstoppable team. The Pizell family discovered this firsthand as they began a long journey to get rid of $109,000 of debt. If you're having a really difficult time keeping up with your payments and outside help is needed, please listen to all the segments on this show. We're going to open up with talking about debt management and consolidation programs. You've probably seen some of the ads on television or online, and you're curious if it really is a solution for getting out of your debt. Afterwards, Travis Pizell is on the show, and he talks about how they had reached a point where they were unable to pay all their monthly bills, and he had to admit to his wife how much in the hole they were in. Hear how they came up with a solution that drastically changed their finances and their marriage. Finally, if you and your family are swamped with debt, we'll go over some possible solutions to help you get back on track. Before we jump into the show, though, I want to mention that next Tuesday, November 18th, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, I'll be an expert panelist on Money Tips Retiree Next Door Tweetcast. Get answers to your retirement questions from more than 24 of the top voices in personal finance. I have the link and all the info up on the site. I'd love to have you join us. There are so many scammy companies out there making bold claims that they can fix anybody's finances no matter what the situation is. To help you make an informed decision, I'm going to explain a few of the basics of debt consolidation and management. At the heart of it, debt consolidation is combining all of your high-interest debts into one with a much lower rate. The idea is that you'll finally be able to get out of debt by sticking to a plan. There are companies out there with programs to get you out of debt using either consolidation, settling with your creditors, or negotiating a lower interest rate so you can pay it off. You send the company your monthly payments, so they handle everything for you. Think of it as a third-party payment system. This isn't free. Fees are something that can vary lender to lender, so make sure you shop around and completely understand them before you consider signing up. Depending on your situation, you may be able to negotiate a better interest rate yourself, so don't be so quick to give up control unless you know that the company would do a better job. We'll hear more from Travis in the next segment, but he was kind enough to summarize how the debt consolidation and management program worked for him and his family.
Sure. So yeah, that was something that, you know, we had a lot of questions about. And when it really boils down to is you give the debt relief provider a list of accounts and balances that you want to include in the plan. And they have to be unsecured debt, things like car loans, student loans, medical loans, or medical bills. Those things don't apply. Those things can't be used in a debt management program. So they have to be unsecured lines of credit. And what they do then is they contact the creditors, and they call it negotiation, where they send them a proposal, and then they either accept or deny the proposal. In reality, they really have kind of a prearranged contract with them for a reduced interest rate in that and payment calculation. Okay. And in some instances, they want to kind of alter that arrangement slightly. But basically, a minimum payment or a monthly payment and lowered interest rate are given to us, to the customer, in exchange for that will allow us to pay off the debt in 3 to 5 years. And then in exchange, they close the account and you can no longer use it, right? Because you don't want to continue to incur debt as you're doing this. So we make one payment. We made one payment a month for 55 months to Care One, and then they disperse the appropriate amount to each of the creditors. So it really required us to stay involved, right? Because it's not a set it and forget it kind of program. I remember the first 3 weeks of the program, I was constantly calling the creditors and asking them, you know, have you received our proposal? Are you going to act on our proposal? And it took about, you know, it took a little while to get all the creditors on board, and everything squared away. And once it was, though, then, you know, we just made that one payment a month, and I made sure the payments got where they were supposed to be every month, and they did.
I appreciated that Travis explained that even though the company was handling the payments for them, they were still on top of their finances. If you feel like this could be a good option for you and your family, here are some tips to protect yourself. Beware of aggressive counselors. To use these companies, you're giving up some control. So think long and hard before signing up. If they keep pushing you to make a decision right away, or they get upset because you want to shop around, forget them and drop them. You can weed out some possible scammers by checking and seeing if the companies you're thinking about are registered with the Association of Independent Consumer Credit Counseling Agencies or the National Foundation of Credit Counseling. Have them send over the terms in writing. Don't go by the promises they make over the phone. Make sure you understand everything and run the numbers yourself. This is a commitment that you want to be sure about. Finally, whether or not you go with a credit management company, you and your family still have to make sure you fix the root of the problem and not just the symptom. Changing your financial habits is the only way you'll stay out of debt. I'm very grateful to have Travis Pizel on the show today. I met him years ago at a conference in Denver where he shared his very personal story of how he and his family had managed to rack up $109,000 in debt and how they were getting out of it. When you hear that someone has six figures in debt, some questions might come to your mind, and probably the top ones are how and why. How did they get so deep? And why didn't they stop sooner? In a second, Travis will answer both questions openly and honestly. While you might not have as much debt as he had, I believe a lot of us can relate to some of the fears he had held. Reflecting on it now, Travis has some wonderful takeaways for couples and money. I hope you enjoy.
It was just a continuous overspending week after week, month after month. We didn't have a budget. We didn't talk about, you know, how we were spending our money. We didn't talk about our income versus our expenses. And we just spent whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted. And when the money ran out, there was always a credit card that we could depend upon to pick up the slack, right? We always had this viewpoint that the next pay increase, because we both had good jobs, that the next pay increase would outpace our spending, right? Get our income to outpace our spending. And of course that never happened, because, you know, spending money is a lot like the fish tank syndrome, right? You grow to the size of your tank. The more income you have, the more you spend. So that outpacing of income versus spending never happened, and our debt just turned into a big snowball rolling down the hill. In the beginning, we were both aware, very aware, right? We knew that we were accumulating debt together. And again, we always, you know, had these discussions. Well, I'm going to get a raise, you know, next month, and then we'll be able to start paying it down. Or, you know, how much is our debt now? Well, we have this much on this card, this much on this card, and it adds up to about this. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, as that number just continued to grow and grow, I really got, you know, kind of embarrassed about that number, and embarrassed that we weren't doing anything about it. And it got to the point where the amount of debt that we were having was really having an impact on the amount of money we actually had, right? I mean, any minimum payment is going to affect the amount of money you actually had. But you get to the point where, where I was taking cash out of credit cards, using credit cards just to be able to sustain what we had been doing. And then some. Okay. And at that point, I started, you know, basically not communicating with my wife anymore. The most we talked about finances was her asking me, are we doing okay financially? And I would, of course, say yes, because to say no would be admitting that I was, at least in my mind at that time, admitting that I was a failure as both a husband and a father. And I wasn't equipped to handle that at that time.
Okay.
As we progressed through our debt accumulation years, my wife became less and less aware of what our financial state really was.
That situation changed when Travis faced the reality of how bad their finances were.
It was June of 2009, and I remember, the day I got the mail, and we had five letters in there from a major credit card provider that we had five accounts with, and every letter was identical except for the account number on it, and basically it was saying that they were changing their minimum payment policy from 1% of your balance monthly to 2.5%. And that doesn't sound like, a huge change, but when you're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars in credit card debt, when I started to calculate what that was going to do to our minimum payments, I knew that we were done. Right? It was going to sink us financially. There's no way that we were going to be able to make those payments. And at that point, I had to have a very, very open and honest conversation with my wife about where our finances really were. I think it was more of, at least initially, disbelief. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, she knew that we were in debt. We knew that we had credit card debt. But the first question was, well, how much credit card debt do we really have? And at that point, I had gone into survival mode. Right? It was just trying to get to the next paycheck to be, how am I going to get through the next 2 weeks? And I didn't even know, I didn't want to know. So I didn't add up the numbers, and we added them up together, and we were both shocked to see that number of $109,000.
Gotcha.
At that point, I really didn't know what was going to happen. I wouldn't have blamed her if she would have packed up her stuff and walked out the door, to be honest with you. Because, marriage is all about trust. I broke that trust for a lot of years to get us in the situation that we were in. Luckily, she stayed, and we started our road to recovery.
Before Travis went on and gave the details about how he and his wife Ani managed to get on their debt journey, I had to ask him why exactly he waited that long to tell her how bad it was. After all, they had acquired this debt over a decade of being married. At any point, he could have came clean, and it would have been a much smaller number to deal with. Travis's answer had nothing to do with the numbers, but instead, how he felt about the situation.
Right, exactly. And, and you can call it machismo, you can call it, whatever you want, but as a father and as a husband, feeling that I'm supposed to ensure that everything is okay, I'm supposed to make sure that my family is well provided for, to admit that we had, and the way that our society as a whole is built is, to say that you can't afford something is to admit that you're a failure. And to have my wife or my kids ask me, can we do this? Can we go on vacation? Can we have this new thing or whatever? To say no, in my mind at the time, was saying, I was failing them as their provider. And that attitude and that perspective was the first thing that really needed to change for us to turn our finances around.
That realization and the changes that needed to follow didn't happen overnight. But from the beginning, the two of them were determined to work this out together.
Together, we talked about, bankruptcy was an option. We really wanted to avoid that if possible. The next idea was talk to our bank and see if there's some sort of consolidation loan, some way that they could help us. And that was kind of a humorous meeting in its own way. Basically, the bank employee that we talked to, representative, told us that his advice to us was to sink all of our available funds into paying our second mortgage down so that we could use a home equity loan to consolidate our debt. Yeah, and I just kind of stared at him, and I said, I'm not going to be able to make my payments next month. basically, he said there's nothing that he can do. And I said, there's a chance that I'm going to default on my mortgage if we can't do anything. And he he had no advice for us. He had he had absolutely no advice for us. I don't know what he could have told us, but he I think he was as shocked as we were about our situation at that point.
To make a bad situation even more stressful, Travis and Vonnie had less than 2 weeks to come up with a plan to fix their finances.
Yeah, it really was probably about 10 days because the you know, it was the next month's payment that was going to sink us. You know, there's no way we're going to make the next payment. So, you know, we went to the bank the next day, and when that didn't work, as soon as we got home, I remember coming home from that appointment, I said, we got to figure something out. There's got to be some other option. And that's when we started searching the internet, you know, because at that time, right, there was, you know, that was kind of the whole economy was, and there's lots of people having debt problems, maybe not quite to the same extent, but there were people that were having financial difficulties across the country. And you heard these commercials on the radio for, you know, debt reduction and debt relief plans, and I didn't know anything about them. So I started searching on the internet. We started searching on the internet, and really over the next 48 hours took a crash course in debt management plans and debt settlement plans, and kind of, you know, checking the Better Business Bureau and reading reviews online, and we kind of narrowed our search down to 2 to 3 debt relief providers. And over the next probably another day, really kind of narrowed it down to one that we were going to give a call. And I remember it was actually our anniversary. It was June 29th, 2009. We called our debt relief provider that we ended up going with, and had about an hour and a half discussion with someone on the phone about how it works and asking questions. And, you know, people, you know, the debt relief providers kind of get a bad rap, and rightfully so in some instances, because there are some shady characters out there. But there are also some legitimate debt relief providers. And, luckily we got hooked up with a legitimate one, and he didn't, you know, there was no pressure. He answered all of our questions, and he, the representative we talked to actually, suggested take time to think about it. I don't want you to rush into anything. And we thought about it for about 5 days at that point. And I remember spending hours and hours reading through their online community, reading reviews, doing research. And when we called them back five days later, we have had about another 90-minute conversation with the same representative. And that's when we signed up for our debt management plan.
They decided to go with Care One's debt management program. I asked Travis how the payment system worked out for their family.
The payment was $2,489 a month.
Was that like less or more than your minimum payment?
So with the debt management program, the payments are usually about the same as what your minimum payments were prior to enrolling in the program.
Oh,
and I think it was very close. The difference though is that the interest rate, you know, for example, you know, we had several credit cards that had interest rates, you know, 24%, you know, 27%, and those dropped all the way down to 5% and 6%. So even though the payment amount is the same, such a greater amount of it is going towards your principal, allowing you to make progress on your actual balance as opposed to just flushing your money down the interest toilet every month.
With that much money going towards their debt each month, they're definitely knocking the balance down. But that wasn't the only change that the family made with their finances.
If we didn't fix the underlying problem, you know, we would just end up right back where we started. And we realized that, and luckily we realized that, and we worked tirelessly at how are we going to do this different. And it really was an iterative process. You know, it wasn't overnight. It took us a while to really figure out how much our lifestyle had to change to fit within the confines of our budget, right? Live within your means. Yeah. What did we have to change to do that? And, you know, I look back to our lifestyle before, you know, during our debt incurring phase, and it's just crazy, right? I mean, we would invite our neighborhood over for a party, you know, on the weekend, and we would pay for everything. You know, if we wanted to go on vacation, we would do it, and you know, the credit card would pay for it. And so, you know, vacations were out. You know, weekend gatherings were out unless it was, you know, a potluck sort of thing. You know, that we had a hot tub in our backyard that got sold. It was a constant evaluation of every expense that we had, right? The first thing that got cut was all, you know, basically all entertainment sort of things. And then we started looking at, you know, the usuals, right? How do you cut cable down? How do you get a handle on your grocery bill so that it's the same every month and it fits within your budget? Like I said, just a constant evaluation of every expense that you have. And, you know, once we got that cut all the way down, then, you know, it's very important that you don't completely cut fun out of your life, right? We did find ways, you know, very inexpensive or free ways to have entertainment. And, you know, basically it was like, you know what? We've got a lot of things that we can do already inside of our house, right? We can have family movie night with Redbox and ice cream, and that's good enough. We can go for family bike rides, and that's a great way to have family time and still have fun and get outside. We can get together with our neighbors and have potluck, and it'll cost us nothing, right? I mean, all these things sound like common sense things to someone, you know, who's already living within their means. But to someone that was living greatly outside of their means for so many years, it took, it was quite an effort to figure that out. Yeah. So the first thing that we knew we had to do is we needed to start talking about finances, period. Mm-hmm. And you know, we tried a lot of different budget methods. We tried a lot of different systems, you know, and being, you know, kind of getting into the world of personal finance blogging. There's a lot of ideas out there, right, that I'd never heard of before, right? Mm-hmm. We tried the envelope method. We tried zero-based budgeting. We tried all kinds of different things. We tried different ways of sitting down and talking about our budget. And it took, you know, it actually, you know, to be honest with you, it took us 2.5 years to finally find the system that works for us. And for us, that system is we talk Sundays and Thursdays, right? Thursdays is before the weekend. We sit down and review our financial information, pay any bills that we need to pay, talk about what resources we have available and how we're going to spend that money over the weekend. And then Sunday evening, we regroup and we talk about what we did with our spending, how we stayed within our budget, how we're doing, what resources we have available, what expenses we have coming up for the upcoming week. Make sure we're on the same page. So Sundays and Thursdays are our days to sit down and talk.
Okay. And you then, still do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If it works, keep doing it.
Yes. So
their financial system has worked so well for them that they have paid off all $109,000 of their debt. With that behind them, I asked Travis how they're spending their money now and what are their plans for the future.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things that you know, once we got out of debt, there's quite a few things that we had been kind of putting off because, you know, we couldn't afford it or we weren't able to do so. The first was we needed to refinance our mortgage because we had played the creative financing game when we built our house 10 years ago, and we were on an adjustable rate mortgage, which turned out to work out in our favor because interest rates just kept on dropping. But you know, signs are that's not always going to be the case. So we wanted to, you know, get that, and you know, our second mortgage was interest only, which is never a good thing. So we wanted to get everything combined to get, we wanted to get our mortgage where we wanted it to be. So that was the first thing that we did. After that, you know, we started looking, you know, we're starting to look now at what's our right retirement strategy. How do we invest our money for the future? What should we be doing to help get our kids ready for college? You know, some amount of sigh of relief of, okay, we can loosen the belt a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things that we did was I'm not a big fan of eating out, and part of that is you know, comes from our 4.5 years of debt repayment of just how expensive it is to eat out. But you know, we figured if we increased our grocery budget and we buy better foods to eat at home, then that, you know, might reduce our temptation to go eat out at restaurants and actually be cheaper. So you know, we increased our grocery budget a little bit. So those are some of the things that we've done. We continue to reevaluate all of our monthly expenses, and you know, we're just trying to get things to where we want them to be long term for the next 20 or 30 years.
Before we finish the interview, I asked Travis if he had any advice for couples having a hard time talking about money.
Tell them that to sit down and have that conversation with their significant other, and to start doing it every day. Right, the best way to become more comfortable with it is to do it. Do it every day. Reconcile your checking account every day for 5 minutes with your loved one, just share your goals and your dreams with each other. That's what a relationship and a marriage is supposed to be about. You know, and that's not just about your career goals or the things you want to accomplish in life. That comes to your finances as well. What are your goals? What are your dreams to achieve financially, and work on them together?
There are several ways to get out of debt, and each couple has to decide for themselves what option is best for them. I think the first one they should at least consider and talk about is going the do-it-yourself route. Yes, it will require that the two of you hash it out and make changes to your financial system, but it's also the one that will give you the greatest control. If you're not sure where to start, but you do want to give it a go for yourselves, one popular option that has helped is using a support group to keep focus during the debt-free journey. I know plenty of people who have taken Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University program and had great results. I believe having a structure and a group setting can be empowering. However, you don't have to sign up for the Financial Peace course to get out of debt. Dave's Total Money Makeover book can show you how to start and build a debt snowball. It's a cheap buy, or if you prefer, you can check it out from your local library. If you haven't already, you can also download and listen to the first episode of the Couple Money Podcast, where we go into detail about using the debt snowball or avalanche to get rid of your high-interest debt. Perhaps, though, you want someone's advice about possible steps to take. I'd start off by contacting your local bank or credit union to schedule a meeting to go over options. In Travis's case, they weren't able to help him, but Brian from Debt Discipline, who also had six figures of debt, found that his bank was a strong ally for getting lower interest rates. Like I mentioned earlier, you can also go with an outside company to manage your debt. Just make sure that you vet them carefully to protect your family and your finances. I hope these tips will help you find the right option for the two of you. Thank you so much for listening. To subscribe to the podcast or get the show notes for this episode, please go to couplemoneypodcast.com. You can sign up with Stitcher, iTunes, or you can grab the feed directly for your own player. If you enjoyed the podcast, could you take a minute and leave a rating and review? You'll be getting the word out on the show and helping other couples build their marriage and their net worth. Don't forget about the Retirement Tweetcast next Tuesday on the 18th. Once again, it'll be at 2 in the afternoon Eastern Time. Register now and submit your retirement questions. Speaking of questions, if you have something that you'd like to have covered on the podcast, or perhaps you want some more information about any of the episodes, just email me. It's at lelle@couplemoneypodcast.com. I hope you have a wonderful day. Take care.